And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
All right, everybody working up. Everybody's working.
With that time, yours.
Guys, listen. I know what we're all sharing the same temptation right now. I get it. We all want to talk about Le'Veon Bell, but what happened last week? What did we say we weren't going to do again? We said we weren't going to ignore the upcoming game to talk about some other thing, because that's why the Chiefs lost to the Raiders. We didn't talk about them enough.
Stick to the play sheet, Josh. Stick to it.
We've got our first 15 scripted. I got 15 questions, and their name a Buffalo Bills linebacker. Go. No, we've got to get through. We've got to make sure we at least save enough time to properly respect the Buffalo Bills today. That's my big concern.
It is a game week. You got to prepare. The tape doesn't stop. The eye in the sky does not lie. Yeah, that's all the cliches I can give right now.
That's Nate Taylor. Seth Kaiser, do you have a cliche?
You know what? We just got to take it one day at a time and give it 100% every time, every single day. And every day that we step onto this field, every single time, we give it 110%. And we got to be committed and understand. Yeah, every single day, Nate. Every single day.
Each and every day.
Each and every day. We got to do the same thing, and we got to just give it 110% and understand that the Bills are a great team. They're a great team that got mollywopped by the Titans. Holy smokes. Oh, I'm sorry. The beleaguered Titans. Those poor Titans.
The super extra rested Titan. That might have been an advantage.
Those poor Titans. Well, no, I watched Taylor Lewan. He's like, oh, man, they put us through adversity. Those adversity-ridden persecuted Titans.
Right. Those non-self-inflicted wounds.
took on the world. Those poor, basically, and up here we go. The Titans were basically the Israelites in oppression in the land of Egypt. And the hand of God intervened righteously on their behalf against the Buffalo Bills.
That's despite, so early to blow that in this show.
Despite a plague upon me in the land.
Oh, he stuck the landing. But so let me just say this. I'll get this out of the way to help us all. The Bills are a good team. Josh Allen's a really good quarterback. They've got an excellent offense. Diggs scares the crap out of me. Singletary's an excellent running back. Their defense has been a disappointment this year, but does have some of the pieces to give the Chiefs trouble. And they're going to lose by 150 points to the Bills. There, I've done it all, right? No, the Bills are going to lose. No, the Bills are going to win. The Bills are going to win by 150.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yes, then we're good.
The unpredictability of Josh Allen once he leaves the pocket, kids. Woo! That's the whole game. Woo! That's what the whole game comes down to. What will this dude do when he's out of the pocket with the football in his hands? Because, y'all, I don't have a single clue what this man's going to do down to down with the ball in his hands outside of a pocket. It's 4 o'clock. It's going to be the strangest thing that we've all seen. And Josh Allen has a win or a loss literally in his hands. Usually I would say that was reserved for Patrick Mahomes. No, it's mostly in Josh Allen's hands. What he does with the football is going to be absurdly hilariously fun to watch.
Mm. Do you think both teams could just mutually agree to not have a pocket in this game? Like, I think that might work.
7-on-7. Let's just kick it off, baby.
Man, the NFL does not want 7-on-7 Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Because those two, I mean, who would even? Russ Wilson, that's it. Oh, no, Rodgers this year. Rodgers is a fiery breathing dragon. Let's you know, that's fine. But 7-on-7, those guys, they would be unstoppable. Now I kind of want this. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
I do too. Like, I'm afraid of Stephon Diggs also, but let's just make him a full-on superhero. Just say there's no pass rush. Go ahead. Or you can't – or maybe we do like 3 Mississippi.
I think Three Mississippi Rules would probably be good.
I do like Three Mississippi Rules. I'm sorry, I just got distracted by some dog barking in the distance, apparently.
God, I hate this dog! Honestly, that might have been loud enough for my neighbors to hear it, so if so, that actually might work. Because can I tell you guys a quick story really quick? I know this is really a bad use of our time, but I haven't gotten to tell anyone about this yet. So there's this dog that lives next. Thank you for your permission. There's this dog that lives next door to me.
Granted. Permission granted.
Thank you. There's this dog that lives next door that just barks. If it's outside, it's barking. Just period. Like, and sometimes that's like 1 a.m., which isn't great because like that's like a bedroom window. It's also sharing like my office window. And so that dog is, I could literally like open my blinds and be 10 feet away from it, separated by just like this one pane of glass. And really, it's separated by me from me by one pane of glass, because that's the rage I feel at this point. I literally have found devices on Amazon, and I have one right now that I found for a pretty good price. But if someone wants to use like a little Time Czar's, slide into my DMs with a good suggestion here. It is like a device that makes an annoying like dog whistle sound whenever a dog barks. But I'm thinking I could just put it up on my side of like the fence. And so whenever that dog barks, it would set it off. And maybe I can train my neighbor's dog.
Hey.
Is that insane? Or is that smart?
Yes. Let me save you a little time there. Yes,
yes,
to both.
That's good. That's fair. Let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. We did it. We did a Bills thing. We did a nonsense. We can now do a Bell.
We've covered it. Hold on. Let's really make sure we've got this. We all agree the Bills are gonna just mollywop the Chiefs. Yeah.
What's the line on this right now? Do you know the line on this yet, Nate?
I don't know. Oh, okay. No, I was muting because you know I'm a loud typer, and I got to get these tweets off. I think the line will be. Now we're kind of segueing, but like I don't think Le'Veon Bell is gonna play. But hell, who knows? He might play out.
I think with that new rule, the new five day rule will keep him out.
It's a little complicated and convoluted, but whatever. Like, I would put the Chiefs at -5, -6?
I got here Chiefs -4.5. Pound the Bills. Moneyline +185. Put the mortgage on it. In fact, I'm not even buying this dog barking device. I'm putting all that money on the Bills +185 on the money line. And on the over 57.5. Woof a doof. I'm taking the over on 57.5 because I think the Bills might score that on their own.
Now, one argument could be that, you know, the Bills were looking ahead to the Chiefs, and they showed up in Tennessee and was like, oh, we got to play a game today? I didn't know that. Did you know Derrick Henry was going to run the ball? Cool. So, like, there's an argument that, like, hey, maybe the Bills was just looking ahead, you know, because human beings look ahead. At the same time, you could also make the assessment that no matter the week, long or short, playing the Chiefs when they have lost and are still mostly relatively healthy, and they just got a little bit of juice in that locker room. Good luck, dog. Good luck.
The over-under for that game is 57.5. This same week, the same upcoming weekend of football, we're also getting Washington football team versus New York Giants. That over-under is 43. Those two teams play different sports. Or those four teams, I suppose. You are going to watch basically Aussie rules football and then NFL football. Like, those are fundamentally different sports being played in those two games. Okay, I feel like we've at least given 8 minutes of Bills preview, right? Are we good?
Let's move forward.
All right, let's talk about Le'Veon Bell. All right, we ate our vegetables, and I think we've at least, at the very least, if the Chiefs lose to the Bills, it won't be directly our fault. Here's the news of the night. The Kansas City Chiefs have signed running back Le'Veon Bell. It was ultimately, reportedly, from, I think someone from The Athletic was covering this. It was down to the Chiefs and the Dolphins, and ultimately the Chiefs won out. Nate, I'll take anything you got on this story for as long as you'd like to talk about it.
All right. Let's begin, shall we? Everybody knows that Le'Veon Bell and Chris Jones are tight. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying this is a coincidence, because it ain't. All right, so moving forward.
Wait, whoa. Let's not just blow right by that. Nate, I mean, I just want to... Oh, man, I'm being that thing that which I hate. But I'm going to do it anyway. Man, so are you saying, like, the Chiefs have, like, a high enough opinion of Chris Jones that if he's tight with a guy and vouches for him, like, they might you know, view him in a really high manner like that to where that might matter? Is that what you're saying?
All I'm saying, Seth, is that somebody told Chris Jones that a move was imminently about to happen earlier this week. That transaction occurred, of which somebody told Chris Jones it was coming. And then that person relayed that information to somebody who's not Chris Jones, who was affiliated with the Kansas City Chiefs. And then they had a conversation. And that conversation went about as smooth as you would expect, given all the things you just mentioned, Mr. Kaiser. And so there is a streamline of communication in Arrowhead Stadium or in the Chiefs practice facility or on these dudes' cell phones. Okay, so I just want to make it clear. The Chiefs were aware of this before the transaction ever occurred. The Jets released Le'Veon Bell. Le'Veon Bell threw some prayer hands on Twitter and it was off to the races, okay? It was at this point, and I've said this before, and we're recording this, you know, roughly an hour and a half after the signing became, you know, more or less official.
It became Facebook official.
Yeah, God. Hey, Twitter, could you not do that again or do it for longer? Either one is fine. Not right then.
I mean, Twitter, I know it's 2020. You know, we're 3 weeks away, Twitter, from the election. Might wanna just lock it in. Lock it down,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah,
make sure
Make now sure might we not own be the this. Time for a server upgrade. Twitter.
Yeah, right. Like, get the auto account and just keep that account moving.
Verify me, and then just don't change anything else for like 3 weeks.
Yeah. So mostly, there was a chance for the Chiefs to make a decision that I thought was pretty fascinating from their aspect. They were immediately the front runners once he was released. It became clear that Le'Veon Bell needed to drum up more than just one team's interest. That is what's been occurring for essentially the last 2 days. He was effective in that as best he could be, given his representation and his standing within the league, despite the fact that, yes, the Jets are awful at football and an awful organization and have no idea what they're doing with their head coach, general manager, and these other very important things. All of this is to say, as long as the Chiefs were able to convince Le'Veon in a concise manner, everything was going to go the way that it went. So he's 28 years old. He's at a point in his career where he wants to be a winner. He's already been a superstar. He's already been a guy that has gotten paid. This is why the Chiefs, again, continue to win. Some other team paid this dude and you got his services a year and like seven games later. It's wild, but I get the sense that the Chiefs were the front runners. The Dolphins made, I think, a pretty heady play to try to get him to play for them in their services. It was a situation where you can clearly see that the Dolphins are on the rise. It's going to take a little longer than it is for the Chiefs, and the Dolphins could give him more money and could give him more snaps. But from a football, just common sense standpoint, it was best for Le'Veon to join up with the Chiefs, to be next to, I don't know, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Andy Reid, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Eric Bieniemy. Would you like me to continue? Tyreek Hill.
This is we'll have a larger running back conversation stuff at some point for sure. But like but not like to the point that people on Twitter get mad at us. It's gonna be fine, guys. The funniest thing, just you listing off those names, Nate, what that reminds me of in the most like blinding possible sense, obviously, I'll say confidently that a running back situation is enormously important on their production and vice versa, like and not vice versa, right? That's sort of a pillar of where I come from on the running backs in general.
Mm-hmm.
while he was incredible in Pittsburgh, and then James Conner was really, really good whenever Bell held out and all that. Going from the Jets to the Chiefs offenses, even with all the issues on the Chiefs offensive line that we're very, very aware of, speaking of teams playing different sports, because I can give you Sam Darnold / Joe Flacco, Adam Gase, and then I don't know confidently that I remember any of the Jets' actual weapons on offense.
It's like Jamison Crowder and
he's again, probably still there, sure.
And Braxton Berrios, because again, Braxton Berrios. I covered him in high school.
That's right. I think that the chances of him looking like 5 years younger once immediately shifting from green to red, I think is going to happen immediately.
There's a real possibility of this. So I want to take you through as much inside as I can. I don't know. I might be breaking some codes, some ethical laws. Who the hell cares? Okay, here we go. Let's buckle up. All right,
Seth, put on your lawyer hat real quick. Put it on top of your Chiefs hat.
Nate, if you could just hang on for 1 second, Your Honor, permission to sidebar with my client.
Sure.
Yeah. Granted. Am I the judge?
You're the judge. Thank you, Judge. Nate, we didn't talk about this before the hearing. I thought that we had a conversation about doing this sort of thing.
I know, but I think to win the jury overwhelmingly.
Why don't you just let me do my job? Did you go to law school?
I gotta do this.
I swear to God, I'll kill you after this hearing.
Now that is client control. Y'all want to know something? You want to know the honest to God truth? There is not a lawyer who is worth a crap who's been practicing for longer than, let's say, 5 years, in case you didn't do a lot of litigation earlier, who has not said something almost exactly like that to a client. Like, I swear to God, I will hunt you down and kill you if you talk to the judge right now. You're going to put yourself in prison, and you're never going to see your kids again if you don't shut up. I'm so serious. I once made a judge guffaw on the bench because my client started to talk, and I went, and I like barked at him, and I was like, shut up, I will talk to
That's
you
actually the sound
hearing.
That this device I'm looking for to make dogs be quiet, that's the sound it makes. It's just you going, burf.
That's the whole reason I did that bit, because I wanted you guys to see how serious I would get. I swear to God, shut up. It's so funny. And then what happens next, if you've got a really, really difficult client, they won't, right? No, right. I'm going to tell them. Then you turn, Your Honor, I just wanted to make the court aware that against my advice, my client would like to give a statement of some sort to the court that I'm not sure what he's going to say, and I have advised him to not speak. All right, go ahead.
Your Honor, just to be clear, okay?
None of this is my fault.
I know I can be held in contempt, and I understand that. But for the people of podcast world and Twitter land,
yes,
can I show my hand? Show my hand. So it was as of this morning, Thursday morning, because it was told to me on Wednesday afternoon. Don't whatever you hear today. Just get it out your head. It ain't real. Like, there's going to be 4 or 5 teams. Whatever you hear on Wednesday, don't trust it. To which I said, fine, I trust this person. I cross-referenced it with a couple other people in the league, and they said, hey, look, it's legitimately 4 teams, okay? And we know who the 3 teams were, and I don't want to make the 4th team available because it really hasn't come out. And so that's fine. So there was 4 teams is where we start on, like, late Wednesday night.
Obviously, the 3 teams, Nate, were the Chiefs, Dolphins, and Browns, and Broncos. Everyone knows that, right? Was it the Broncos?
They may be a team led by Matt Nagy. Anyway,
no, Nate, stop.
Danielle has to bleep that. That one's got to get bleeped. I don't want you to get in trouble. Danielle, I'm sorry that they gave you more work.
It's fine. Danielle, let it go. It's fine. He's already signed a contract. What are we doing here? Anyway, so I'm going to name drop a person that you don't think I'm going to name drop, but like he is a good friend of ours. He knows how this works. He has kind of shown people on Twitter, and I'm just using this platform to tell you that my friend is smart, that I'm confirming what he's already said on Twitter. You can look this up on the timeline after I say it. But in essence, Thursday morning, you wake up and you're like, this is the real day. Because, you know, it doesn't take long for you to understand where your standing is in the league. And if you want to, like, I don't know, make a lot of money or play for a team where you live, i.e. Miami, or if you want to play for the defending Super Bowl champions. It shouldn't take long. So Thursday morning, I reach out to people in the league and I just say, hey, tell me how the Chiefs aren't the front runners in this situation. No one to a man could tell me the opposite. So therefore, I talked to another individual, and it is in our story on The Athletic, where it's basically someone told me very early in the morning, it's Miami or it's Kansas City. And it's like, okay, this all makes logical sense. Le'Veon Bell lives in Miami. The Dolphins are a team that could easily give him their starting spot within a snap of a finger, and you kind of move forward. Now, the Chiefs, as we all know, were interested in Le'Veon Bell last offseason during the free agency period of 2019. Obviously, Le'Veon Bell signed for the most money he could possibly get, which, sir, is a wise decision by you, considering you kind of left money on the table because you didn't want to play on a franchise tag.
Right.
Completely understand it. We've all been through it before. We've treaded that ground. So the Chiefs told him, hey, if something ever happens in the future, just think about us, baby. Just hey, all I'm saying is, if your man don't treat you right, just let you know I'm right here.
What is that? Now, that My Girlfriend song by NSYNC back in the day? You remember much. That? Girl, you could be my girlfriend. That the remix with Nelly wasn't terrible. Didn't hate it. Didn't hate it. Now, then again, I'm a very, very, very white dude, so that probably explains that. Anyway, go on.
So it is at this point. This is so funny. It is at this point, and I'm scrolling, that I text a man named BJ Kissel, who is
my guy! BJ, the legend! Yes! Sorry, I'm very excited about this.
I text BJ Kissel this morning, former reporter employee of the Kansas City Chiefs, doing his own thing with Let It Fly Media. You should really check him out. Smart dude. Love him to death.
Yep.
Glad he gets to spend more time with his kids. Absolutely. So, I tell him, hey, dog, this is like real, like just straight up off the text. Hey, man, just want to share that I'll be shocked if the Chiefs don't get Le'Veon Bell. He says, thanks, man. And so a couple hours later, BJ Kissel does some of his own little, like, you know, I won't say an investigator, but like, hey, it is what it is at this point. To where he says, the only reason why you would do any of this stuff, which is true in terms of, hey, I'm hearing, you know, Dolphins are making a push. Dolphins are making a run. Now, legitimately, the Dolphins were interested. My guy, Josh Tolentino, had locked that up. We obviously worked on a story together, which told you, you know, in fairness, because again, Le'Veon Bell is a human being. He can change his, you know, mind at any time. We don't know the decision at this point as to when we were reporting it in midpoint of Thursday. But we said, hey, Chiefs, Dolphins, here are the two teams. Here's why the Bills are stupid. Get out. So basically Le'Veon, they're going to make the playoffs. Shout out to the Bills. They are a good team. But Le'Veon Bell is out here ring chasing, or he wants to play in Miami. You,
right.
You decide the difference between those two things in Buffalo.
Right.
All I'm saying is BJ sort of gave the impression on Twitter that says, hey, you wouldn't do this unless you were trying to generate enough interest so that a narrative could be put in place where you could say, hey, there was actual more dollars on the table. And that is an actual fact, kids. Le'Veon Bell turned down more money from a team who had more cap space and was willing to give him the rehabilitation program that he could have gotten in the sunny state of Florida. That is a fact. And he declined that to join the Chiefs, a superpower who just got, I don't know, Josh, can you remind us what happens in the old movie when you get one of these things?
Oh, they've added another Infinity Stone and someone's about to eat it.
Yeah! Yes, sir! Okay, so I didn't have to say this. I didn't even have to write it. My guy, BJ Kissel, took my information, got some of his own information, and told you in plain sight in the middle of an afternoon that the game plan had been set, and the Chiefs this entire time, I don't know, based on their production company, their Twitter account, their ability to turn a contract around like there's no days tomorrow, Le'Veon Bell has already passed his physical. He's already signed his contract. Y'all, it's 7:30 on a Thursday. Like, the Chiefs woke up today knowing 90% that they were going to sign Le'Veon Bell. So that's kind of the insider, as it was happening, sort of picture that I can present. Le'Veon Bell and his agency did what they needed to do. The Chiefs played it safe, played it coy. Andy Reid today said, "Oh, I just let Brett handle that."
So did Brett Patrick already Mahomes, handled it. Who drafted Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you ask Brett Veach. That was the how dumb do you think we are, Patrick? Brett Veach was like, "Yeah, I texted Mahomes at pick 30. I was like, who do you like?" And he was like,
"Who do you Clyde like?
Or yeah. your give me Clyde or your head and resignation letter." He's like, "Yeah, cool, do Clyde." And then today Patrick Mahomes gets to the podium and was like, "Yeah, what about Le'Veon Bell?" I was like, "I've never even heard of him. Who is he?"
Yeah. Is he does he play football? Like, is he all right? I like it. Oh, I like it a lot.
Who does he play for? Is he, the Pittsburgh Steelers running back? Yes. What's going on?
If you don't think Brett Veach doesn't look on Twitter.com and see all the things you say after a splash of a splash move, then you, sir, are not living in this world. Okay. you, ma'am, may one day want to be Katie and be in the exact moment, in the exact location, to tell everybody in the world that, hey, they're signing Patrick Mahomes to the grandest deal of all time. shout out to Katie Kamlin.
I was just going to wait for a pause and say, if you're typing for a Twitter account, her last name is Kamlin.
Yeah, it's... No.
You were up in the air. You were in midair. I wasn't sure.
Of course. And, like, sometimes the great ones know where they're going, even as they're up in the air. Anyway, shout out to Katie Kamlin. We have chatted a little bit. Obviously, we know her story from this past year. You know, she was even telling people today, hey, y'all, look, like... Give Katie a break, okay? This stuff is hard. Like, she got a full-time job. She got, like, I don't know, friends, perhaps a significant other. I mean, like, you know, Katie got the story
of the
year.
She can't get every scoop. Yeah.
Can you just, like, give, like, I'm just, Katie, I hope you hear this. Shout out to you. Love you, girl. But, like, we got you, okay? Like, me and some
Ian Rappaport's on IR right now. This job is hard.
Yeah, that is true, and which made my job slightly easier. I will also acknowledge that. But, Katie, hey, if we got to bring you off the IR, or if we got to bring you off the miss, because, you know, Ian's on IR for, I don't know what he was on for. But, I mean, hey, like, we understand. And I just want to say that I love Katie Kamlin. Somebody clump that out and send it to her. And know that for all the ladies and the gentlemen of this fan base, including Katie, they all know, they all kind of, I mean, the writing was on the wall as of like late last night, early this morning. And so I just want to share with people, it was never really a race. It was just a matter of when. And the Chiefs have, I don't know, the Chiefs have a play. They have a hand. They have a style. They went through their media availability. They went through their practice. And then they signed the person that they were going to sign today. So, like, it is what it is.
Man.
Is that that's too much? Awesome. Is that too much, Your Honor?
No.
The jury is unanimously agreeing that now you're the judge. That's what happened. That's
how that works. Let me tell you. It's like, here's my gavel. You can just have it.
Here, I take off. They wear those comedically excellent wigs still, right? The big white powdered wigs. I put one on for this episode.
Man.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep. You heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
So I almost broke into a story, but we don't have enough time for it because I had the funniest thing happen to me that's ever happened to me in court today as someone got dragged agonizingly.
You can squeeze it in. You can squeeze it in.
It really, it would take too long to tell. Let me just say someone tried to lie about why they weren't in court, and we ended up getting an emergency room nurse practitioner on the line because this person was like, I'm here at the emergency room. That's why I couldn't come to court, all that. And so the judge is like, put her on the phone and get the nurse practitioner on the phone. No. And this nurse practitioner is talking to us and like is on the record, volume up, and everyone can hear in the court. And she goes, well, you know, when did she get there? Because she's been staying all morning. I've been at the hospital all night. She goes, well, she got here like 20 minutes ago. And the defense attorney, who's a good friend of mine, great dude, I just see the pain in his eyes. He's like, oh, no. And then the nurse practitioner turns to her with the volume still on the phone. She goes, oh, so you have court today and you just came here as an excuse. And the phone goes dead and there's silence for like 20 seconds in the courtroom, and my good friend, who we're just going to call him Mr. Smith, the opposing counsel, he goes, there's just dead silence in the courtroom, and I'm just sitting here because it's just dreadful tension, because actually a pretty important case, the judge had ordered her to be there personally, like, because I'm asking to proceed by default, which means I win because you didn't show up, which, by the way, kids, show up to your court hearings because default is real. You can lose if you don't show up. Like, I get everything I'm asking for if you don't show up in most things, not like a criminal case, but I digress. And so there's silence in the courtroom for like 20 seconds. And the judge goes, Your Honor, and the judge, yes, Mr. Smith? Your Honor, I'll be honest, the record here is bad. And the record here is bad, and I'm sitting here just dying on the inside. And he goes, you know, Your Honor, I think one thing we can all agree on is that she is at the hospital right now.
and we have to take that into serious account moving forward in this scale.
And just deadpanned, I think one thing we can all agree on, she is at the hospital. And I mean it. Your Honor, can we take a break, please? Because I'm dying on the inside. And we get out of there. I'm like, what is wrong with you? He's like, I didn't have anything else to say. What do you want me to say? She's obviously lying. What do you want from me? And it was just, it was so funny. Just a defense attorney going, well, Your Honor, I understand. This is a bad record. This is a bad record we've got here. Anyway.
If you're going to do that, you've got to, like, make a stir fry and, take off like a fingertip
just
right?
Run,
like,
yourself over. Do something. Like, actually get
hurt. You gotta do something. You gotta have something.
Times are where we promote self-harm.
Well, no. So what happened? What happened? This should
do what you gotta do.
Than usual. No, so my like worst like stupid scar. I'm looking at my thumb right now and remembering this fondly. I had a mandolin, not like the instrument, but the food instrument. You know, and I was slicing some baby carrots without the handguard on because I'm a dumb person.
No, don't do that.
And, yeah, no, I won't again. And this was many years ago. But it just took a nice little chunk out of my thumb, and it just went away. It was just gone forever. But at the very least, you could be like, oh yeah, well, that's very bad, but I'm gonna go to the hospital now. Like, you know, I got that one. I got like one play in my playbook there.
There you see.
You could.
That'll
do
work.
That.
That'll
right?
work. Yes, you. If you're actually hurt, and you got to go to the emergency room. But don't, like, man, just show up for court. Because sometimes, you know what? You're just gonna lose. And just at least lose with some dignity, because that is like 1/10 of the story. This was after like an hour of questioning over the phone as this lie just got dragged out. You ever see someone get caught in a lie and they are just going to hang on to the bitter end? And like everyone in the room knows they're lying and you just want to scream.
Hey,
just
I can't go back
yes,
in this world called reality.
Yes, you're too deep. So I know we got to talk about Bell because there's a lot of conversations to be had about, you know, what should realistic expectations be. Can I just real quick point out that just now, as we are talking on Times Ours, Kelechi Osemele tweeted out a picture of him sitting on a workout bench with what looked like, I don't know how heavy those dumbbells are next to him, with braces on both legs, clearly having just gotten done working out his upper body. And then the next thing is a caption that says, no excuses. Kelechi Osemele is more of a man in one finger than I am in my entire body. That dude is hardcore.
Where is this? Where are you?
It got tweeted out by Arrowhead Live. He must have put it on his Instagram or something.
Instagram. Man, I'm here for it.
He is a big dude too.
Yeah, this is on his Instagram story right now.
That's insane. Like, oh, I know I tore tendons in both legs, but you know what I had to do? I had to go get swole at the gym.
Holy cow. Those are some big braces too, Mike. For the record, Andy Reid today wouldn't say that he was out for the year. We still don't know what the tendons are, but it seems impossible. What I'm looking at right now also seems impossible though.
Yeah, what
these guys do, and this is a great reminder, what these guys do, and I also have to remind myself from time to time, what these guys do is truly just like awe striking. Like,
yeah,
to play in the NFL on any level, whether it's one snap or you're Patrick Mahomes, like what these guys have to do is just, I mean, it's absurd and it's really mind boggling. And we should as humans just appreciate it more because, I don't know if Osemele is going to play this year. I've reported that, you know, the team was pretty fearful that, hey, the season might be over. But the fact that he's even doing this now just gives you an idea, gives you a great indication of what it takes to be at the very, very top percentile of like your industry, what it takes to be there, and even the mindset you have to have moving forward. So, I hope at some point he does play again because we never hope for anybody's career to end on a non-contact injury when they were really writing an interesting chapter to their career already. But it's a great reminder, like Seth mentioned. I mean, these guys are human and they're not at the same time compared to like the rest of us.
Yeah. They're just, it's that scene from Avengers, right? Where it's like, who's this dude? This isn't a dude. You're a dude. This is a man. That's how I feel every time I see any NFL player is I'm like, that's a man. I'm a dude.
I was gonna say they're human being. Dead serious. My comp was going to be they're human beings in the same way that Steve Rogers is still a human being after he gets that serum. That's a human being in there.
Yeah,
but human, also kind of not. Yeah.
Yeah,
all the same faculties and everything as a human being, and the same emotions and feelings as a human being, but physically, like they're like a human being. XS max, you know, they're the human being plus.
Yep, you're not wrong, my friend.
Human being and then some. Anyway, why don't you talk about Le'Veon Bell some, Seth? This show's been pretty weird.
Absolutely, it has been so far. So here's the deal. There's a lot of conversations about Le'Veon Bell. First things first, we have no idea what he brings to the table. We need to have reasonable expectations. He's younger than LeSean McCoy was.
Yep.
And LeSean McCoy didn't work out. But here's something, because McCoy didn't end well.
He's also 1 year older than DeAndre Washington, which is just something that seems impossible but is true.
Yeah, 1 year older than Washington. That's real. I did not know that.
I know, that's weird.
Something to think about with LeSean McCoy. He ultimately ended up getting sat because of fumbles, right? I mean, that's it.
Yes.
Because that's something Andy Reid does not tolerate.
And he kind of lost a little bit of his burst through the line.
He had lost some of his speed. But you know what? They needed – someone said it this way, and I thought it was said really well. They needed every bit that LeSean McCoy did give. Like, they needed some of the
early
plays
in the year,
he made.
Yes.
He helped them win some games. And so even if it's just that where it's like, oh, he's going to help win a few games and then flame out, fine. But he's younger than McCoy, and you cannot judge a player. Like, Adam Gase has entered the zone where, like, there's just no judgment there. The Draft Network did an article about all the players that have thrived post-Adam Gase. And legitimately, there's like 30 players listed in there, guys.
Yeah.
Ryan Tannehill's an elite quarterback when he's not playing under Adam Gase.
I mean, it's like, did Adam Gase... I want to be fair to the man, but he used to coach Peyton Manning.
And That's it. That's the end of the sentence, Nate.
Okay.
He used to coach
Peyton
Manning.
Then I'll just shut up right there.
Yep. And so, like, next gen,
the answer to every Adam Gase question. How does this keep happening?
It really is. And, like, little things they released Osemele after some contentious stuff about an injury. He's clearly a dude who's willing to tough things out. And it's, I'm sorry, did I just hear something?
Yes, that's okay. It's from me. Don't worry.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna stop worrying about it.
Can I recognize Trump's voice in one syllable? Was that what I heard just then?
I think jail. Oh, why are you doing this to yourself, Nate? You know.
I clicked the wrong button, man. It happens. It was from a candidate who we all know.
I just tell you, you couldn't pay me enough money to watch. But you know what? I'm not even going to. Anyway, so the thing with Le'Veon Bell, Next Gen Stats, I'm writing about him right now for the Chief of the North newsletter, kind of breaking down, you know, what he might add and what he might not. A couple things. One, he's very, very, very unlikely to take the running back one spot from Clyde. Like, by very, very unlikely, I mean like, he'd have to blow him out of the water, right? Two, yes. They need snaps. Some smart people have talked about, and Nate, you talked about this, heading into the season, the plan was to have Damian Williams and Clyde split the snaps. Mm-hmm. Maybe not necessarily 50-50, right, but not terribly far off.
There was going to be, like, if the year played out the way we normally would without a pandemic, and again, we hope that everything's going well with Damian Williams' mother, as to the reason as to why he opted out. But, like, if this was a normal year, there would have been a slow, like, hey, 65-35. Then when it got to 50-50 by midway point of the season, Damian Williams has dealt with injuries before. Maybe that would have accelerated some of these snaps for, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And then there would have been an easy transfer in January as to, like, Clyde's getting most of the snaps. But, you know, Damian is as healthy as he was, you know, last year based on the number of snaps. And that, you know, they're both going to be at their peaks, hopefully, in Andy Reid's offense come January, when, of course, he starts showing things that he hadn't shown all season. So, that was the plan. And now they get to do this with Le'Veon Bell in a lot of ways.
Absolutely. And there's something worth noting here for people that are just like, well, why would they do this? What does it say about Clyde? Something to keep in mind. Clyde has played about 65% of the snaps. You're talking 45% of the snaps, unless you're talking, you know, completely empty sets, have gone to Darrell Williams. Darrell Williams has taken over a little bit over a quarter of the snaps.
Yeah.
Right?
And a lot of third downs. I think we may have
A lot of third downs. Le'Veon Bell can do pass protection.
Yeah. Like, and he's also a better, I kind of like Darrell Williams low key still.
Yeah.
But obviously I liked what he was doing last year better than what he was doing so far this year. Anyway, to that point, Le'Veon Bell can pass protect, and he's a better third down running back than Darrell Williams by all the other metrics
by
and stuff.
By every single measure that we know of, unless he's completely washed, and I don't think he is. I'm looking at a little bit of the film. This year, he's been hurt, except for a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. And he looks a little thinner than he did last year. He's admitted he got a little... dude got paid. And then he was a Jet. Like, what was he going to play for? Let's be honest here. Let's be honest for one second.
Wow.
Let's say you work for a company. You come into a company. You left a very successful company. Got offered a ton of money to join this other company. You walk in there and you immediately see, no matter what I do, this company is going nowhere. You cannot tell me you would work your hardest at that job. There's like 1% of people in the world that would. Like, Patrick Mahomes is built that way, right? He is just like, he would just give it everything.
He did it at Texas Tech.
He would give it everything he had. I wouldn't. And I'm okay admitting that, because I'd be like,
also,
what's the point?
Seth, his boss didn't want him there.
I know. Yeah, you go in there, your boss
right. You keep forgetting all this. Like, my man showed up and like, yo, why is he here? And they're like, but dog, he's a good player. But why is he here? I don't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't. You just got here, sir.
Yeah, yeah. What are you doing? And so he had to deal with passive aggressive pot shots from a dude who's just like good. Like, it's been quoted. Adam Gase goes out of his way to try not to interact with the players too much. Like, it's. Anyway, sorry.
I mean, imagine being at work and constantly having to deal with a bunch of passive aggressive pot shots from your peers and superiors. What is it? A podcast about the Chiefs? Did I turn into Steve Spagnuolo at the end of that? What happened there?
What happened?
What time is it?
What are they doing? What is that? Time Zaza podcast on The Athletic? What day is it?
Well,
where's Maria? Maria!
Meatballs! Make the meatballs!
Anyway, so with regards to Bell...
That was not an Italian thing. She apparently makes incredible meatballs.
She does. Lovely woman. Phenomenal woman. Just let me go full Stephen A. Incredible woman. Have I met her? No.
Oh, man. All right. So Le'Veon Bell, the snaps are
Quick Trip
there.
Quick Trip just tweeted me and said, next time you have breaking news and Twitter is down, tell us so we can put it on our QT Kitchens menu screens.
Jeez. Okay, Quick Trip.
That's where the real message boards are there, Josh.
This is a top 5 day for me on Twitter.
Yeah, what is going on? This is like the time when Tombstone Pizza replied to me. It was the best day of my life. Still,
love Quick
Tombstone,
Trip.
Reach out, guys. Chief of the North newsletter needs a sponsor. Anyway, So with Bell, you're talking over a quarter of the snaps, because Darwin Thompson, for a while, they tried to kind of give him that third down role and that role spelling Edwards-Helaire. It didn't work out well. Thompson still looks explosive. This probably, he might not have long for the team. We'll see. But he fumbled.
Washington's
also
on the active roster right
now. Oh, yeah.
Now,
Washington.
Squad's bigger, so.
Yeah. Washington is on the chopping block. I like Darwin Thompson. The fumble thing, well, we all saw how many snaps he got the next game. That's just how it goes. The snaps are there. Edwards-Helaire has taken 65% of the snaps. So when everyone's saying, oh, this means they're going to run the ball more. Oh, this means they're going to change the offense. Well, does it? Or does it mean instead of Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson, it'll be Le'Veon Bell? And if that's the case, that's a clear win. Additionally, right now they've got Nick Kizer taking snaps as an H-back. Maybe instead of Nick Kizer lining up as an H-back, because they did that with their running backs last year. Had them line up as H-backs off a little bit off the line, which it's like basically a modified tight end, right? I mean, I'm pretty sure everyone who listens to our podcast knows that, but like you're talking a tight end just a little bit off the line. And you can run some creative stuff with them. I wonder if a guy who's a good-sized running back who runs tremendous routes might be good there. So there's things you can do here. You just got to make sure you don't become addicted to the run game. I think we can all agree on that. I mean, we all remember me last week sacrificing myself on the altar of dunkiness. And saying we still want them to throw the ball 75-80% of the time. But now instead on third down, with maybe Clyde not being in there, giving him a breather or whatever, now it's Le'Veon Bell and not Darrell Williams. That's a clear win. You add talent where you can, unless he's completely washed. And if he is, you know what? Nothing lost. It's the definition of a low-risk move. I love it. It's like when LeSean McCoy started off all right, looked pretty good for a while, started to flame out. It didn't cost him anything. It's all gravy. They're playing with house money right now.
Yeah. So for the salary cap purposes, if anybody was wondering, the Chiefs entered today with $6.7 million in cap room. I am assuming that Le'Veon Bell is taking most, if not all of that.
I was gonna ask if you got a number in mind.
The numbers, for whatever reason, the numbers haven't come out. Clearly I've asked. But look, like this is the cost of doing business, right? Again, we will get the numbers at some point. I have not gotten that number of information yet. I'm still gonna ask around even after we're done recording, of course. But like, it's 617. Look, no matter what it is, that's the number that they had to play with today. So look on over the cap and look who's making $6 million. Is that person Le'Veon Bell or not? You know, worthy. So like, that's kind of how you have to, you know, use that reference of mine. The Chiefs can still make a move or two, of course, based on guys who are injured, guys who may be lost for the season. Obviously, you don't want that to happen. But like, there's still room to be played with. But they didn't have a ton to start today comparative to, like, you know, the Dolphins. So 6.75 was on the NFL Players Association's salary cap report to reporters, so that we can all keep, you know, good accounting records. And so I'm assuming Bell took a majority of that chunk.
I don't like that very much. I don't know.
Like six mil?
Seth, do you think, like, so here's a couple of things. One is that
I have not confirmed this yet. I just know nothing in 6.7 or down will surprise me based on everything I've understood so far. This is what I'm saying. Maybe I should have led with that. They have 6.7 available before today started, or as today started, I should say. If they use all of that, majority of it, a little more than half, like, nothing would surprise me.
So, I mean, I think, so from Seth, kind of from your angle of, if he's here to be an upgrade over Darrell Williams,
eventually there's a price at which that's not money well spent. I don't know where you want to put that number. But I would have probably started at like maybe three and then started kind of wiggling around in that space. Like the majority of the 6.5 or so, that would be a surprise to me.
You also have to remember, Le'Veon Bell has wanted to get as much money as physically possible since he left the Pittsburgh Steelers.
For sure.
And I don't fault him for that. I do think that definitely, you know, what we talked about in terms of narratives and stuff, I'm sure Miami offered him more money, maybe a couple extra years. I don't even know. I would say, like, if they paid him, like, $6 million this year, that does get me a little more like, eh. But the one thing for me is, like, people talk about opportunity cost. I don't see a player coming available that they wouldn't be able to make cap space for if they wanted to make it work, right? They've demonstrated they could do that.
I think it's just about rolling money over. Honestly. Yeah. I think it's probably more long-term view at that point. Right. Because I think that's fair. Also, yeah. LeSean McCoy made $3 million from the Chiefs last year. So, right. Maybe that number should start at 4 or more.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. That's definitely fair. It's more than I would have liked to have paid, but it does, you know, midseason, because everyone talks about opportunity cost, and that's where, like, Josh, where you and I will, like, disagree about, like, first-round pick and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, because you're happy Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on the team. You just wish that, like, they could have drafted him in, like, the third or fourth round because of opportunity cost, right? And
sure.
And it's the same thing with money. And so the thing I would say is there's probably more of an opportunity cost with the draft pick than with, at this point in the year at least, $6 million. And even, again, steeper than I'd like to go. But, like, $6 million this time of year is a little bit different. Like, the rollover is going to matter. I'm becoming more and more certain, given how things are going, I think they're going to pull it off, like have a full season. And at least where, you know, knock on wood, fingers crossed. But you see, they really do, like, they're willing to be more adaptive than I thought they were in terms of the schedule. Right. And TV revenue, if that stays relatively the same or even goes up a little, because, you know, all of a sudden we got, you know, football on Tuesdays and football on Wednesdays and football on, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We might not see that salary cap get quite as affected as we thought, which wouldn't that just be pleasant? So yeah. I'm not thrilled about it if it's a large amount, but I do like them adding talent. And here's the other part of this. We don't know. He is only – so he's 28, man. I did not realize he's that young.
Yeah, and you also have to consider that with the finances too. He's not 30.
Yeah, he is, and he is in a contract year. And if we know one thing about Le'Veon Bell, the dude likes to get paid. And I'm just trying to remember. Oh, I'm so bad at memory. What is the contract year? It's unfatigable.
Undisputed. It's undisputed on Fox Sports 1.
It's something, but it.
Hey,
I mean,
hey, Seth. It's Therese. It's Therese. Okay. Look, listen. The contract year is undefeated, dog. It's undefeated.
Oh my gosh.
Contracts. You talking about a contract year for a running back? It's undefeated, man.
How long have you been hiding your Therese impression? Oh my gosh. Okay, look. Most of our listeners had to have heard Therese, so you're not surprised. Oh, dude, that was scary. That was easily your best impression, and I am shook up.
Yeah. Look, hey, I love Therese. Big reason why a lot of us are here, including me. You guys should really listen to like the Yahoo NFL podcast. It's phenomenal.
It's one I don't miss.
I don't play that card a lot because like it is one of my best ones. I get, you know, obviously a lot of people see me and say 9 routes, and I get it. Love his death. Like, you know, and a lot of people, like, there's one person today or a couple days ago who were like, when I say the word maybe they mentioned that on Twitter, and I got a chuckle out of that as well. But yeah, man, Therese is always right when it comes to the contract year, particularly someone who's motivated.
Yes.
I'm motivated. Le'Veon Bell in a contract year.
I I don't know if your first word was hey or look or whatever. But you got a syllable into that impression, and I had to throw myself away from the microphone. I thought he was on the call all of a sudden. Yeah. That was unbelievable.
No, that was amazing. You might as well have just, I mean, and I can't do it, but you might as well just, yes, sir, and just like, I was like, yes! I did not know you had that in you.
Can we legally put him like on the podcast, like as a host now, do you think? Just since you've got such a good impression.
I mean, I can text him.
You need to tell him to, we got it, once this comes out, I've never asked for anything. I'm kidding. I ask for things all the time. I'm actually kind of a demanding friend, but you guys know this. I would just love if the clip from this episode were that. And we could say, hey, special guest spot on Time's Ours. And we'll tag to Resonant, who's a genuinely good dude, who was giving me advice on things back when I was
just the,
like,
the Mike
literally
DeVito of the media world, you know?
Yeah. The Mike shit. Look, Mike's a good dude, all right? Anyway, the thing with Bell, there's a chance, and this is where it comes, you know, running backs don't necessarily move the needle all that much. I get that. But there is a chance that they added an elite player with virtually no risk as a rental on a year they're trying to run it back. And that's exciting. And this dude's going to be motivated. And he's obviously coming in on a one-year deal. So it's not like, you know, people talk about locker rooms and all that stuff. You know, look, this is Patrick Mahomes' locker room. Like, no one's walking into that locker room and having more sway than the MVP, Super Bowl MVP, $500 million man. No one. Mm-hmm. Like, if Mahomes, everyone on that team is subject to Mahomes walking into Brett Veach's office and saying that dude needs to be gone and being gone. No one. Literally no one. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe besides Andy Reid. And even then, it's a conversation. Although I don't think Brett Veach can fire Andy Reid. Well, let me rephrase that. There is no way that Brett Veach can fire Andy Reid. But so there's no locker room concern for me there. I think it's a good move, low risk, potentially pretty solid reward. Not like, you know, it's not like they're, you know, getting Julio Jones or maybe a more impact position, but they can do some fun things with him. And the snaps are already there for him to take over.
The one, a kind of a quick, slightly zoomed out thing, because I imagine some people are kind of wondering about it. I mean, you mentioned like the snaps that are available there, Seth, and I think that tracks. I think saying, yeah, it's not, they didn't add Julio Jones. There are limitations of improving your number two running back position. We are spending way more time on this because it's Le'Veon Bell than that would typically deserve, which I think is totally fine, by the way. And I just did an hour of like emergency live radio before I did this podcast, and I've tried to make this as clear as possible because I know everyone listening to this knows how I feel about the running back position, generally speaking. I do not want to take anybody's fun on this one. Le'Veon, if you said, who's the running back over the last close to 10 years you've most enjoyed watching? My answer would be Jamal Charles, Le'Veon Bell. No kidding. Like, that would literally, it's crazy for a running back's patience to be like basically a Madden stat that you can see. Like, you can see that happen in real time. I've been tremendously impressed by him as a running back for a long time.
Yeah. And he's a great cast passer. Catcher. Yes. He's great cast passer right, football. Yeah.
You're like plus 50 in this episode already. You can miss one shot. But yeah, I mean, like, and he fits with all of this. The one thing, I also don't care to make this about Clyde Edwards-Helaire because I don't think it is. And I mean, you guys mentioned earlier the Damian Williams thing. All of that, I think, is super relevant. The one thing that I just want, I'm going to poke at ever so slightly as an example, is that, like, specifically Le'Veon Bell has not been available on a one-year deal, but you do see stuff like this happen with running backs on a relatively regular basis, and then the guys that replace them usually also perform about like they do. So it was Le'Veon Bell leaving Pittsburgh, James Conner playing well. It's him going to New York and not fixing New York's offense, even though they paid him a lot of money. The Jags cut Leonard Fournette. James Robinson steps in. Who is he? I'm still not sure. He went to Illinois State. James Robinson looks great. Like, That sort of running back carousel sort of thing is back to the main reason of like, hey, I wouldn't draft a running back in the first round, like, ever, I don't think. I would always be more interested in that pick going to a more valuable position, even if I think that player is a high upgrade. I think we're just seeing here with him bringing in Le'Veon Bell, like, you can keep adding at lower overall opportunity costs, to your point earlier, Seth. However much money it ends up being, that cash for a one-year deal here starting in week six or whatever, that is a lower cost by a large margin than a first-round draft pick and a rookie contract that comes with it, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm not trying to make this in any way a large-scale indictment of Clyde or like, bro, Veach is already out on Clyde. He says it's a bad pick. I'm not trying to say any of that at all, but I do think that this is, you know, illustrative of how the running back position can be tweaked or upgraded and maneuvered around without costing draft capital and still getting unbelievably talented players to do that.
Yep, and I will say this too. You always have to think, and Eric Bieniemy's been pretty honest about this because he was a former NFL running back. Mm-hmm. Running backs get hurt.
Yeah.
And that's mm-hmm. something that you always have to consider. The depth and the versatility that you have to have at the running back position, particularly when you know you're going to play more than 16 games, mm-hmm. Has to become a factor. So it's that Josh said very well, plus the idea of what if Clyde Edwards got hurt? Mm-hmm. It's a legitimate question. You would not want that to happen, but it can happen. Like, running backs take a lot of hits. Like, they just take hits. It's unfortunate, but you need to be really have a nice depth at that position. We have not seen DeAndre Washington yet in this offense. He's obviously still learning. Similar in a way that, you know, gives me some questions about Ricky Seals-Jones too, because they both came on at the same mm-hmm. time. They have not made their debuts yet. We've already mentioned Darwin with the fumble problem. And Daryl has been all right, but like, yeah. any more than all right if you want to win the Super Bowl. So it's you know, it's giving yourself some level of insurance too, that hey, if Le'Veon Bell, you know, goes down, we still have Clyde. If Clyde goes down, you still have Le'Veon Bell. And then the last point I would make is, one of the reasons why this podcast is so fun and so witty and nutty and God knows whatever else words you want to describe us is because we actually like doing this. Mm-hmm. Football players at this high of a level need to actually like playing football. Yeah. Like, so it is a boost to the locker room that I don't know you can measure right now. Mm. But the locker room is juiced. That is the word I can use based on this decision that Andy Reid and Brett Veach have sealed and stamped approved a talented player that can help them win, that can make their jobs fun. You don't think about the NFL in like the fun league category. Like, hey, is it just fun to go do practice? Is it fun to like communicate? Is it fun to learn from somebody? Is it fun to like want to, I don't know, sacrifice your body for the person next to you? I don't know if you can ask all those questions to the New York Jets, but you can, mm-hmm. you know, there's a difference, y'all, between that mm-hmm. and what Le'Veon Bell is entering. And mm-hmm. so he's coming to a place where the Chiefs obviously want to perform well, but they're going to show him things in practice, y'all,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
that should motivate him to ball yeah. out.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Patrick you just can't measure that.
Pat, and then also, I mean, we've seen people like, even though like it didn't work out with like Darren Lee last year, I remember him tweeting like when people were talking about Mahomes, he tweeted out, he's like, I didn't believe it before I came here. But it's like I don't remember what his follow-up was. I think it was like an expletive or something. But it was like he didn't believe it until he saw it like live. And I mean, playing with Mahomes, that's got to be a motivator. And then Mahomes yeah. tweeted an evil Winston smile from New Girl after they signed Bell.
Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he's stoked. This is going to be great. I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. There's just really no risk here. Worst case scenario is, you know, they lost a little money in the salary cap at a time where it didn't really cost them anything to, like, spend the money. That's your worst case scenario there, is it doesn't move the needle at all.
I think that it would be a bummer. Right, like the idea that, because again, I think going back to like, yeah, that Le'Veon Bell's not gonna fix the problems we've seen from the run game through this point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I do think there's an argument that I've seen pop up on Twitter also. It's like, well, if he's not gonna fix it, then why do it? And also, I guess if you wanted to keep an eye out for other places to use that cap space, I don't know if a
guard is going to become available, yeah.
The issue is a guard's not available. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know if a Wisniewski is there right now, which was why they made the move, kind of out of desperation, kind of because they thought he could be effective, was Kelechi Osemele. That's why they, like, oh, mm-hmm. Laurent Duvernay's not playing this year. Get on the phones. Get on the phones. Like, mm-hmm.
They could have taken the first guard off the board in the draft at 32. I think it was a relatively weak interior lineman draft. I know that Cesar Ruiz went like 24.
Yeah.
So,
and he's, yeah, and he's,
I don't
been
know if that's a good argument or
he's
not.
He's been,
but it's just
very much, you know, he's been similar to Clyde. It's like high points. Mm. Nah.
What's Robert Hunt doing? He was the first guard. He went at pick 39 to the Dolphins. Is he playing? Let's find out about Robert Hunt. He's played 5 games, started one of them. I bet he's great.
I gotta go.
We'll end the show on that also. Bills. Seth, the Bills game.
Oh, the Bills game. Chiefs are going to lose by 400 points at least. The Raiders exposed them. The league's figured out Patrick Mahomes. It's all over, fellas. There.
Nate, the Bills game, quick.
Josh Allen. 800 yards, 6 touchdowns, no turnovers.
I'm gonna say Chiefs 34, Bills nothing. That's it. Oh no!
What the crap is the matter with you?
God damn it! I ruined it! Ah, dang! Oh, the Chiefs are 4-2. Ah, shucks.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.